First John chapter 5 and verse 14. First John chapter 5 and verse 14. We're talking about confident prayer. A lot of times people come to the Lord and they're praying, Lord, if it's your will for this or that or the other thing, that I would really like that, Lord, but if you see better not to, then that's okay, you know, and they come and hem-haw around. But the Bible teaches us a different way to pray. Even when it tells us in Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8, ask and you receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened, for everyone that asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. That we like to say, you know, ask in a singular term, but that's not how it's written. The Bible teaches us that when we come to pray, that the ask there means ask and ask and ask and ask. And seek means to seek and seek and seek and seek. And knock and knock and knock and knock. It means to just keep on knocking till he answers the door. Keep asking till he answers you. Keep seeking till he shows you the way, till you find it. And that's important. You know, God loves to spend time with his children. He knows us, who we are, and yet he loves us in spite of ourselves and gave his son to die for our sins. He loves us. Hallelujah. He doesn't see our sins. He sees the righteousness of his son in us and upon us because of his great sacrifice for us. You know, for God so loved us that he gave his only begotten son. And so that is a love that is beyond our wildest imaginations, a love that will never, throughout all the eons of eternity, never fully comprehend, but understand more and more and fathom more and more and comprehend more and more of that love that passes human understanding. Because God's love is infinite, we will have to live throughout all eternity to comprehend it, and we never will completely arrive, since his love is infinite and eternal. We'll always be learning more of his love and understanding more of his love to us. And how much does he love me? Well, he loved you so much, he gave his only begotten son to take your sins upon himself, die in your place, suffer your hell, and rise again from the dead. And so, as we look at this passage, we're seeing that we should have a holy confidence when we come to pray. Not because I've been to church 20 years straight, never missed Sunday school, I always given the offering, I've been baptized, and my grandpa was a preacher, my daddy was a preacher. No, that's not why you're confident in prayer. It's not about you being confident in yourself. As we read here in 1 John 5 and verse 14, now this is the confidence that we have in him. Our confidence in prayer comes from who he is, what he's done for us, how he is our righteousness, he is our holiness, he is our wisdom, he is our everything. He's the great I am. And so whatever you need, he's that for you. Well, I'm lonely. Well, he's the very best friend you could have. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I'm afraid. Well, he's our peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And a great word that we have from the meaning of that word peace there is the word tranquility. I like that word tranquility. I like the word sereneness. Because the word peace can mean different things in our culture. Can mean a lack of war. Well, you might not have a war going on and still not have a whole lot of peace. But tranquility, sereneness, calmness in the midst of the storm, that's what he promises. And he gives it to those who are distressed. Is he not glorified by hearing and answering our prayer? Yes, he is. So we should be confident. Is he not able to hear and answer our prayers? Yes, he is. The thing is that let me put it this way. I had a pastor for 4.5 years who had a radio broadcast there in the greater Chicago area. And he one of the things he would say is, there's no burden that you as a child of God, there's no burden that you have that's so small that God doesn't look upon it and care about it and want you to talk to him about it. And there's no problem or distress that you have that is so great, but that God is not able to provide a table in the midst of your storm for you, to provide an answer to prayer, no matter what your problem is, no matter how great, no matter how distressing, whether it be a financial crisis, a health problem, no matter what it is, a relationship problem, but that God isn't able to give you his tranquility and that God is not able to answer your prayer. So that no matter how small your burden may be, you know, when we were little kids, we had troubles, we had trials. And when we would tell our parents, they would think, oh, you know, in comparison to theirs, they were nothing. You know, they had to pay the bills. They had to deal with people at work. They had deadlines for this, that, and the other thing. They had cares that little children don't have. But little children, when they do have a problem, it's big for them. And so God's child may say, well, my burden isn't that big compared to some other. Yeah, but God still cares. Talk to him about it. Bring it to the Lord in prayer. And take it to him. He cares. And he knows anything and everything in the trouble. The Bible says, don't worry about anything. It says, be anxious for nothing. In other words, don't have anxiety about anything. Don't stress over anything. He says, but it's a big thing. Well, to God, everything's little. You have a saying, don't sweat the small stuff. Well, to God, everything's small stuff. Be anxious, don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall watch over your heart through his riches in Christ Jesus. And so, this is how we're to pray. We should have confidence in God in prayer. We talked about this just quickly, and I'm just going to run through it real fast, so listen real fast. Why should we have confidence in prayer? Because our faith, our assurance, our boldness in prayer pleases God. Remember I talked about the little ducks, and the one who gets the most food, and the one is the one who comes more boldly, comes closest to you, makes the most noise. And he's the one or she's the one that's going to get. It doesn't matter what they look like. They could be the ugliest duck this side of the Mississippi. But because of their boldness and because of their, how would you say, their lack of fear of you, their confidence in you, that you're not there to hurt them. You're there to feed them. You're there to take care of them. You're there to get make them happy, as it were. And they get the closest to you, and they quack the most, and they get the most food. And so it is with Christians. It's not the most sanctified or solemn or the most serious, or even the one that knows the most scripture, or so-and-so has been most faithful. It's the Christian that comes to God with this holy boldness, this confidence in God, that if he was willing to give his own son, Jesus, for me, he will hear and answer my prayer over this. He will hear me. He loves me. And it's the Christian that trusts the most, that has this faith, this assurance, this boldness in prayer that pleases God. And so the scripture says, Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Again in Hebrews it says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So it's not only about believing in God, but believing he blesses those who seek his face. Amen. And so, Matthew 21:22, Jesus said, "And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." And then it goes on to, what is that passage again? In Mark 11:22. Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." And James says, "Let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. A double-minded person is unstable in all their ways." So if you come to God in prayer, and in essence you're saying, "I can live without it," guess what will happen? You'll live without it. But if you come to God and say, "I'm like that little duck, I'm not going to leave till you give me something. I'm not going to leave until you feed me. I came here because I'm hungry and I need to be fed. I came here because I'm in need, and you're the only one who can help me. Help me."
Amen.
And you come boldly and trusting in His love, trusting in His power. "My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are His, the valleys are His, the stars are His handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do." And so why are you praying like there's something your God can't do?
Amen.
Why are you him-hawing around? Why are you beating around the bush? Just come out and say it. "Lord, I love you. Lord, I believe in you. I know that you're powerful enough to do this. And if what I'm wanting from you, if what I'm praying for doesn't please you, change my wanter. If you want me to endure this pain, give me grace. If you want me to win this victory, you've got to provide it. Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, give me grace." There's these things that God has promised to give us. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all bountifully and does not chide you, doesn't rebuke you. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering." That's where that verse goes. Let him ask in faith. You know, sometimes our fires, there's a piece of furniture in the tabernacle. And you had the entrance, and then you had the altar of sacrifice. And then you had the laver for washing. And it was such fine polished brass, it looked like a mirror. So when the priests who were offering the sacrifices went to wash their hands, they could look at themselves in the mirror. And it was, as it were, a picture of God's word. Then you went behind the first curtain, and you had the seven-branched lampstand made of gold on one side that spoke of Jesus being the light of the world. Then you had the showbread on the other side, which spoke of Jesus being the bread of life. And then you had, before you went behind the veil of the Holy of Holies, where behind that curtain was the Ark of the Covenant, just before it, you had the golden altar of incense. Do you remember that? And it was a special kind of incense made of frankincense and myrrh and a couple other spices there that was unique for the worship of God. No one was allowed to make it for the smell on themselves. It was for that special fragrance for that. And what did that picture? What was the altar of incense about? The incense was to be continually supplied and be continually burning and producing its smoke in the tabernacle 24/7. It was to never go out. It was a picture of prayer. Throughout the scriptures, it pictures prayer. You come from, not only it's first mentioned in the book of Exodus, but you come to the book of Revelation, and it shows you that is a picture of the prayers of God's people. They rise up, and through our Lord Jesus Christ, His goodness, His righteousness for us, His love for us, His holiness given to us, it comes through Him. As sweet incense before God. As that sweet smelling, it's fervent. It was lit on fire. It was intense. It could burn. And the smoke filled the tabernacle. And that's a picture of a Christian's prayers as they go to God through Christ, as they go to God with faith, heavenly faith. Now, why be confident to God when we pray? Well, again, because real prayer shows living faith in God. It shows faith in His power. It shows faith in His goodness. It shows faith in His promises. Living faith brings our hearts to not only ask, but to open them to receive these answers to prayer. You know, sometimes I've been shocked by answers to prayer. But I shouldn't have been. I was praying to the true and living God, the one true and living God. All other gods are false gods. It's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the one true and living God. And I came to Him in prayer, and I asked Him for it, and then I was surprised when, out of nowhere, the answer came. Shouldn't have been surprised. Amen. Yeah, that's right. Real prayer glorifies God because it says, Lord, You are powerful. Lord, You are good. And Lord, Your Son's sacrifice is sufficient for me. There is power in the blood. There is wonderful love between You to me through the Lord Jesus. And You love to hear and answer prayers for those You love, for those who are clothed in the righteousness of Your Son. And it glorifies Him. Real prayer glorifies God. His power, His mercy. It reaches our... what it'll do is reach out our soul to receive from Him. To not only plead to Him, but to receive from Him answers to prayer. And so that's why we should be confident when we pray. We should be confident when we pray. Not confident in ourselves, but confident in God, as we're talking about, because it shows our great need of Him. You know, whenever my son, still to this day, needs something, and he comes to me, I love to be able to answer his need. Mm-hmm. I love it. Mm-hmm. If your child comes to you and says, Mom, I'm hungry. Doesn't it make you happy to give them something to eat?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Yeah. When they say, Dad, I need this for work. Can you get this for me? And you can. You are absolutely happy to get it for them. And you love to give to your children. And that's why Jesus used the illustration. Which of you having a son, if he asks for an egg, will you give him a stone? If he asks for fish, will you give him a serpent? How then, if you, being sinful, love to give good things to your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? Amen. He loves to give. And the more we come to Him, the more He is glorified to give. If you owned a store, and I was your customer, and you only saw me every couple of months, you would still appreciate my business. You'd still say, you probably remember my name. Hey, Alan, how you doing? It's been a while since I saw you. But then let's say I moved into a closer vicinity to you, and you started to see me more. And you started to see me more to where practically every day I was coming into your store to get stuff. You know what? You would never close your door to me. You wouldn't be tired of me. You would look forward to seeing me.
Amen.
Because you knew that I wanted to do business with you and you had what I needed. Mm-hmm. And you were glad to meet that need. And of course, the more our relationship could grow, the more that you might say, hey, I got some of that stuff you like in the back. I haven't put it out front yet. Because I know you'd like it. I'm afraid it'd disappear before you got back here. You want some? Yes, sir. Or yes, ma'am. Well, let me go get it for you. Amen. And see, the more we come to God that way, the more business we do with God, the more welcome we are. We're always welcome. But just think, if we were more regular and more faithful and more confident in prayer. Why should we become confident? Why should we pray with confidence to God? Because we understand our great need of Him, and He wants us to see it. The air that we breathe, the water we drink, these are all His gift. He keeps our lungs. How many of you had to wake up in the middle of the night and set a winder on your rib cage so that you could remember to breathe? God kept you breathing. God kept your heart beating. If you had to pay for the oxygen, and they do sell oxygen, if you had to pay for the oxygen you're breathing today, you'd be billions of dollars in debt by tonight. God's giving it to you. You're walking on His earth. You're drinking His water. You're breathing His air. He loves to give. He's always giving. He doesn't need anything from us. And He loves to give. So we should be confident in God because we have great needs.
Yeah.
By the way, we should put off all pretentiousness when we come to prayer. What do I mean by pretentious? That's where we get our word pretend. Don't pretend you're something you're not. Don't come to Him with flowery words. Oh, Lord, I come to You on this beautiful, dark, and stormy night, and I just want You to know that the fragrance in the air is like the calla lilies in bloom, and blah, blah. Come to Him with what you need, and forget all the pretentiousness or fancy, flowery language, and mean business with Him.
Amen.
God, I'm having trouble with this sin in my life. And I'm in temptation, Lord. And if this crowd, I get around them, Lord, I just need You to watch over me and help me. Help me to love You more. Help me walk more closely with You. Help me to be my affections and my emotions to be involved. Because if my affections and emotions aren't involved with You, they'll get involved somewhere because I'm a human. So Lord, capture me. Take my heart. Make it Yours. Help me to stay close to You. I asked my Uncle Johnny one day, most manly man I've ever met, Phil, old school. I mean, he'd make John Wayne kind of look like a sissy, not much, but kind of a little bit. And my Uncle Johnny, I asked him one day, I was sitting on his porch. He's the one who first told me about God. And I was sitting on his porch. I said, Uncle Johnny, if you could have one thing from God, you could ask Him for one thing, and for sure He would give it to you. What would that be? Most people say, well, I want wisdom. I want to know exactly what to do and how to help people. I want to know the path to take and the decision to make and so on. But my Uncle Johnny thought for a couple minutes. I said, Uncle Johnny, did you hear me? He said, yeah, I'm thinking. And he said, I think I'd want an angel. I said, well, you got angels around. He said, no, but an angel I could see and feel and hear. He said, what would you want that for? He said, every time I started to say something wrong or do something wrong or behave wrong, the angel could slap me upside the head and say, what you doing, Johnny boy? You know, that's kind of an answer to prayer. If you need something, that's one thing you could ask God for. Lord, let Your Holy Spirit speak more to my heart and correct me when I start to think wrong, when I start to speak wrong, when I start to feel wrong. Let Him be there to straighten me out. Guide me by Your Holy Spirit. David prays like that several times in the Psalms. You know, I've been amazed at God's power and His greatness. And His goodness. How many of you ever flown on an airplane before? I should probably ask how many of you haven't. But the thing is that, you know, flying over the United States, most of it is uninhabited. There's vast areas of nobody lives out there. Big areas. Most of the United States that way. And yet, you know, you fly over a city, and I realized for every child of God there, for every believer there, God hears their prayers from His highest heaven. How great is God that He not only fills the universe, and the universe is His footstool, it cannot contain Him, the Bible says, and yet He hears the prayer of his smallest, most feeble, most poor, most lonely child, all the way, far higher than my airplane I'm flying on. He sees it all. He knows it all. He made your eyes. He can see you. He made your ears. He can hear you. He made your heart. He knows exactly how you feel. He knows your spirit. He knows exactly what motivates you. He knows what makes you happy. He knows what's best for you. And he sees you all the time. How great is our God. And so, be confident in God hearing your prayers, because in him hearing your prayers, it displays his infinite greatness before the universe. The angels that look on to us, it's like the Bible teaches, you know, that the angel of the Lord encamps round about God's children. And so somebody asked John Calvin, the great old preacher of the 1500s, they asked him, they said, "Do you believe that God gives us all a guardian angel?" And John Calvin says, "No." He said, "But the Bible says this." And John Calvin says, "But I believe something." He says, "It's not like the Lord to just give us one angel. I believe that each of his children are surrounded by angels. That we have more than one. That we probably have several angels watching over us. And if you live here in Southern California, you probably have one on each fender at least once you get on the freeway." Amen? And so this is the Lord's goodness. He does more. In the angelic world, when they see him answer prayer, they see that he's in the highest heaven, that he's so great and so transcendent above everything, and yet he's so compassionate, so gracious, so merciful to hear the prayers of someone who, in comparison to his universe, is less than a speck. And that he loves to hear and answer the prayers of millions of his people. In hearing us, he shows all of heaven his infinite power, that he can be in the highest heaven, enthroned above it all, and yet hear the faintest prayer, from the most silent prayer, from the heart of his weakest child. Because why should we be confident in prayer? Because as we pray, the Bible teaches us the Holy Spirit prays in us. Romans chapter 8, other passages, that he makes intercession for us with groanings, spiritual groanings which cannot be uttered, that we can't hear. That while we pray, the Holy Spirit attends with our prayers, and how would we say, he seasons them with his wisdom, with his goodness, with things that we should be praying for if we only knew. And so he intercedes for us. And in the same passage, Romans chapter 8, it talks about Jesus, that he also intercedes for us. It's not the only place. The Bible says that when we pray, Jesus prays. And when we don't pray, Jesus still prays for us. I remember the old Scottish preacher, Robert Murray McShane, said, "How confident would we be in prayer if we knew the Lord Jesus were in the other room praying for us? How confident would we be in prayer if we knew that in the other room, Jesus was right there praying for us?" Well, that's how confident we should be in prayer. You did understand Scottish, right? It's kind of like English, a little bit. But can you imagine if when you next time you pray, you imagined right beside where you're kneeling, where you're sitting, where you're lying down when you pray, where you're standing when you pray, Jesus right next to you, praying with you. You'd say, "Well, then surely God's going to hear me now. Surely the Father is going to hear me now." I know sometimes in my preaching, it might be a little bit funny when I say Jesus and God. Jesus is God. God is three persons, one God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Co-equal, co-eternal, three distinct persons, yet one God. And the word Trinity would be better explained by the word triunity. And so this is another amazing thing about God, that is beyond our understanding, but not beyond our faith. And lastly, we should be confident in God when we pray, because the Lord has filled His book with hundreds and hundreds of promises to hear and answer our prayers. From Genesis to Revelation, He gives us many, many promises for prayer. I like this one, just one that just came to my mind right now, Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad it's by Christ Jesus, not by yourself and your own attainments? He shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ? Have you been saved? Is He your Lord and Savior? Is he the way, the truth, and the life in your heart? It's by Him. Not by you being good. You could never be good enough. But Jesus is good for you. And so we can have confidence in prayer. Our confidence in Him should show that our confidence in the promises of His Word. Like we said before, that poem by Martin Luther, it doesn't matter how we feel, our confidence should be in the Word of God. Our trust should be in the Word. So many people, they think the train is going to run by feelings, and then faith, and then by God's Word. But actually, the train that moves heavenward, the train that carries us in the Christian life, starts with the Word of God, faith, and then feelings are the caboose. Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God. Naught else is worth believing. Though all my heart should feel condemned by its want of some sweet token, there is one greater than my heart whose word cannot be broken. So I'll trust in God's unchanging word till soul and body sever. For though all things shall pass away, His word abides forever. Listen to this again in 1 John 5. These things, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, according to His promises, according to His precepts, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. We know. We know. This is the confidence we have in Him. That if we ask anything that's pleasing Him, that's according to His will, He hears us. We still have 2 points to go. I just finished point number one, and we have 7 more to go. So strap in. The Spanish church will be joining us, and I'll speak in Spanglish. I'm teasing you. We have to close now. I'm getting better and better at Spanish. Little bit more every day, a little bit more every day. Poquito. Oh, yeah, let's come to the Lord and as we close this message in prayer. Yes, sir.
Pray for Sister Veronica. She went to Mexico and see her mother, and her mother passed away Friday.
Okay.
So give her a strength. She's in Mexico.
Okay. Our sister in the Spanish ministry, Veronica, just lost her mom this week. She's down in Mexico. Pray that she makes it back safe and sound, of course, but pray for her family. Do you know if Veronica's mom was a Christian? Oh, that makes a huge difference. That makes all the difference in the world. Praise God for that. Father, we do thank You for loving us. We thank You for hearing and answering our prayers. And Father, thank You that no matter where we are, what we're doing, even if we're working with our eyes wide open, and people are talking and everything's going on around us, we could still be in secret fellowship with You, putting our confidence in Your Word, in Your promises, in Your goodness for us, in the righteousness of Your Son which clothes us. Lord, we thank You for that. We pray You be with Veronica's family. Lord, during this trying time, may they find the tranquility and comfort and strength of knowing that the grandma was a child of God, and that they'll see her again. Lord, we wonder how our life could pass us by so quick sometimes, and the older we get, our days just flash ahead of us. And Father, our being with you is going to be sooner than we realize. Before long, and just seem maybe like a few days, we'll be with you. And thank you that heaven is real. Thank you that your promises are true. And Father, if there's a time that we're going to pray, we're going to have to do it now. Because when we get to heaven, we have no need of prayer for anything. Because all our needs are met. All our fears are gone. All the things that we could ever desire are already there. Lord, we pray for Jean as she gets ready to travel to Oklahoma, that you would be with her there. And Lord, as she goes to be with her friends and her relatives among the Cherokee people, Lord, we pray that you would guide her to and maybe new friends as well. And bless her in the fellowship and the time there. And Lord, we thank you for her testimony while she was here. We thank you for her joy in you, her faith in your word. And we just pray you continue to help her grow and grow more into the image of your precious Son. And Lord, we pray you bless our prayer lives. We pray that you'd make us open and bold and not pretend, but be honest with you, because you already know us. You already see our heart. But you bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, we're going to have our offering. So if you would please...